Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. 1 through 11, we've been talking about the time after Jesus' resurrection. Now we're going to talk about his ascension. So let us begin our reading with verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. Hear now the word of God. In the first book, O Theophilus, by the way, that name means lover of God, I have dealt with all the things Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem," that is locally, "in all Judea," that is regionally, "and all Samaria," nationally, "and to the ends of the earth," internationally. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Keep your Bibles open before you. This is the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades. The word of our God shall endure forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this incredible and wonderful truth that we have here of the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we seize upon all the benefits of the ascension this morning. May it move us to look to you in praise and hope and gratitude. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 13, we are reminded that at the end of the day, when all is said and done, that there are three eternal realities that remain. There's faith, there's hope, and there's love. That's what remains. Friends, hope is a flame. And unless you've given up on life itself, you have a flame of hope burning in your heart. The question is, not do you have hope, but what is the fuel that is feeding that flame of hope in your heart? You know, Christians, by definition, are people who possess a living hope, a secure confidence that a living Savior has canceled our past record of sin. We possess a living hope that our ultimate future has been secured through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the past and the future is taken care of. But here's the question, what about right now? What about today? I mean, how many of us, be honest, really radiate confidence in our day-to-day living? How many of us are magnets that attract other people through our confidence, or are we more like citronella candles that repel other people through our lack of confidence? Here's an idea. Just ask a non-Christian how confident, how optimistic Christians are. You know, most non-Christians will tell you, oh yeah, Christians, those are those people that look like they've been baptized in pickle juice and weaned on lemon juice. Or as a friend of mine once said, he's talking about a story that Chuck Swindoll related about a pastor who was in line at a grocery store, and he was not feeling too good that day, and a lady looked behind him. Well, actually, looked behind him and said, "Excuse me, sir, are you a Christian?" And he said, "What made you think that?" He said, "Well, that awful look on your face." He said, "Well, actually, I've just had an upset stomach." He said, "Well, you all look the same to me." That's what she said. Which brings us to a question. Seriously, do you know the difference between an optimist and a pessimist? Lloyd Corey uses a metaphor of life as a voyage, and he puts it this way. He says, a pessimist is a person who stays seasick and pops Dramamine pills during the entire voyage of life. On the other hand, he says, an optimist is someone who would gladly go after the whale Moby Dick in a rowboat, carrying a spear in one hand and a jar of tartar sauce in the other hand. Just look at the polls, the surveys. Check around. According to the public's perception of us, we're the ones popping the Dramamine pills. So the question is, how do we in our day-to-day living become the most hope-filled, optimistic people in the world? We should be. We're the only people that should be that way. Why? It's the ascension of Jesus Christ. The benefits of the ascension of Jesus give us reasons every day, to be hope-filled, confident, optimistic people. This morning, let's fasten our seat belts. We're going to consider six benefits from the ascended Christ. Benefits designed to be high-octane fuel to feed the flames of hope and confidence in our life. Now, what I'd like for you to do is to keep in mind these benefits are going to come from all over the New Testament. So I would suggest that you do this. Take notes, and then go back and look up these verses we refer to. Let this be part of your quiet time this week, that you go through and that you ruminate, that you soak in the glory of the benefits of the ascension in our lives. But let's look at the event first, the event of the ascension. You know, in the Bible, when Jesus Christ ascends in the heaven, it is both a sunset and a new dawning. For Jesus, it's the end of His career on this earth as we know it. It's the beginning of His work as the God-man in heaven. For Jesus' friends and disciples, it's goodbye. For His Father in heaven, for the host of heaven, for the redeemed in heaven, it's welcome home. You know, the imagery of Shakespeare said that all the world's a stage. You think about it, for some 30 plus years prior to the day Jesus ascended into heaven, He had stepped out of the wings of eternity, through the curtains of time, onto the stage of human history. During this time on earth, let us never forget what Jesus did. Jesus lived a perfect life as a substitute for His people. Then Jesus died a redemptive death as a substitute for His people. You see, Jesus' whole work on this earth was as a substitute in our place. And then Jesus rose from the dead, the first fruit of what will one day be a great harvest of people who will rise bodily from the dead. Now, we see this cloud we just read about. We see Jesus moving through the cloud like an actor stepping through the curtain off the stage of human history, stepping back into heaven. Now the question is, where is heaven? Where is heaven? Well, the Bible doesn't GPS heaven for us. But wherever heaven is right now, heaven is somewhere we cannot see with our physical eyes. We can't see it with a Hubble telescope or with any human technology. Yes, the beautiful sky at night is kind of a trailer, a teaser, but it's not the movie. And when Jesus returns to heaven, he receives the ultimate hero's welcome. You know, add together all the emotion, all the excitement, all the celebration, all the victory parades, all the celebrations the world has ever known since the beginning of time, and the celebration that Jesus received upon entering heaven, well, wouldn't even compare. You see, Jesus returns home as the conquering warrior. Remember the axes of evil? Remember Bush and the axes of evil? Jesus defeated the real axes of evil. Sin, death, the devil. That's the axis of evil. Jesus defeated all three. And now I want you to use your sanctified imagination. Can you imagine the reunion of God the Father with God the Son? There we have an embrace that would dissolve the hardest heart in this room to tears. Then he says, Son, sit at my right hand at a place of absolute authority, privileged position. Jesus, you are the conquering king. And now, my son, I have an enhanced job description for you. And here's some activities for you to be involved in while you're in heaven. And that brings us now to these six benefits, the ascended heaven brings into our lives. Remember, why are we looking at these benefits? We want to be transformed into the most optimistic people on the face of this earth. First benefit is this: the intercession of the ascended Jesus gives us hope and confidence. Intercession. The ascended Christ is our intercessor. Now, you know what intercessory prayer is. I hope you're involved with it every week. Here's your prayer list. It's when you look at people on this prayer list and you pray for them and you pray for the ministries and missionaries of this church. You're interceding. Well, according to Hebrews 7:25, Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. In other words, while Jesus is in heaven, the ascended Jesus constantly prays for us. I love what the old Scottish preacher Robert Murray McShane once said. He said, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear millions of enemies. Yet distance makes no difference at all. Christ is praying for me. Remember that. Christ is praying for you. Think about that. But there's even more good news here. Think of your prayers as arrows. Think of the throne of grace as the target for your arrows. But there's a problem. You have the arrows of prayer. You have the throne of grace of God. That's where you want the prayers to go. But you're missing something. You don't have a bow. Well, the intercession of Christ is that bow. It's the bow God provides so you can shoot the arrows and hit the target. Just think, when you put the arrows of your prayers into the bow of Christ's intercession, those arrows hit the bullseye of the throne of grace. And because of the intercession of Jesus for you, you have a hope and a confidence. Yes, your prayers will reach their destination every single time. It's not because of your efforts. It's because of the work of Christ, the ascended intercessor. Notice the second benefit, the second gift the ascension brings is this. Not only does the intercession of Jesus bring us hope and confidence, but notice secondly, the priesthood of the ascended Jesus brings us hope and confidence. You see, the ascended Christ is our great high priest. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Here's the priest who offered not animal sacrifices, not temporary sacrifices, but the sacrifice of himself for our sins. And now in heaven, Jesus is our great high priest, and he offers to us these things. He offers, first of all, a sympathetic heart. Think about it. When you pray to your great high priest, Jesus, he offers a sympathetic heart. That is, he knows what you're going through. Jesus says, been there, done that, have the battle scars to prove it. Jesus knows. Joe South in 1970, used to say, walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Jesus walked many miles in our shoes. But here's the difference between Jesus and us. While walking through this earth, Jesus never sinned. And you see, that's why Jesus has a tender heart. You see, his heart has never been made hard through sin. Let me explain it this way. Now, some of you play guitar. Are you taking up guitar from time to time? When you first start playing guitar, the ends of your fingers hurt. But after a while, after you play for a while, the end of your fingers don't hurt as much. And here's why. Because they develop calluses and they don't feel things. We see, every time we sin, we rub calluses on our heart. And we become less sensitive to others. But here's Jesus. He never sinned. No calluses on Jesus' heart. Listen, our great high priest has the tenderest heart in the universe. And our great high priest does more than just offer sympathy. You know, he doesn't just say, you know, I feel your pain. He does. But he doesn't stop there. Our priest gives megadoses of grace and mercy. Grace, providing the firepower you need every day in your relentless battle against sin. Mercy, to medicate the misery that your sin brings into your life. And if you think about this, the office of our great high priest is open 7/24 for the rest of your life. You'll never see a sign on his office that say, be back in a minute or two, only to go back in a minute or two, and he's still gone. You've been there, haven't you? Whenever you need grace and mercy, the office is open. All you have to do is ask. So Christ's intercession brings us hope and confidence. Christ's priesthood brings us hope and confidence. Notice the third gift is this. The advocacy of Jesus. The advocacy of the ascended Jesus gives us hope and confidence. In other words, the ascended Jesus is our advocate. 1 John 2:1. Notice, John says this, when we sin, brings the question, have you sinned today? I can answer that. Have you breathed today? When we sin, we have an advocate who speaks to God for us. In other words, to put it in more modern parlance, Jesus is our defense attorney in the court of heaven. Jesus, our defense attorney, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, he accuses us in the book of Job. He stands before God accusing Job in the court of heaven. Satan is the prosecuting attorney. He stands before God. He accuses you. He says something like this about you and me. This is what he says. God, judge of the earth, how can you let that person into heaven? You know he lied. You know she gossiped. You know he entertained impure thoughts. You know, either in word, thought, or deed, she broke all the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are like a plate glass. You break one, you break them all. You know he did not love you more than anything else. You know she did not find her ultimate pleasure and identity in you. God, I thought you punished sin. Besides God, I thought a person had to be perfect to go into heaven. I have to admit, if I'm sitting there in the jury box, I'm going, God's got a pretty open and shut case. But then steps Jesus. You know, Jesus, combination Perry Mason and Matlock on steroids. He stands, and here's the defense. Yes, Father, that person is guilty, but I have already taken his punishment for him. I have paid the price for his sin. And as usual, the devil's lying because I've also given this person my perfect record. I mean, look at the record of this person, this man, this woman, this boy, this girl. It's perfect because the second she professed faith in me, I gave that person my record. Friends, that's the case your advocate makes for you all the time. And because Jesus is your defense attorney, you have a hope and optimistic confidence. Your sins have been paid for. You will not be paying for your sins in eternity. You will always be declared not guilty in heaven's court. Let me put it this way. Think of it this way. In Christ, you are Teflon. Nothing sticks. Fourth benefit is this: intercession of Christ, the priesthood of Christ, the advocacy of Christ. Notice in the fourth place, the fourth gift that gives us hope and confidence is this: the Holy Spirit of the ascended Christ gives us hope and confidence. You see, the ascended Christ gives us a constant companion. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Do you realize, I never thought about this, I remember a professor at the seminary brought this up. Do you realize that we're better off right now because Jesus is not here? Do you realize that? We're better off right now because Jesus isn't here on earth with us. Because if he was, he couldn't be everywhere. Jesus could not be with every believer. So for your personal benefit, Jesus says, for your advantage, I will send my Holy Spirit to be personally present with you at all times. Think about that. In the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is present with you, each and every one of you, all the time. Which means you enjoy the companionship of Christ constantly. The person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus helps you, he comforts you, he counsels you from Scripture, he encourages you, he empowers you. As Vance Havner once said, you can no more live the Christian life in your own power than a reading lamp can shine without being plugged into an electrical outlet. See, the Holy Spirit provides the power we need to live for Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us the weapons we need if we're going to wage successful warfare against the devil. But you know, there's something else the Holy Spirit does for us every day, and that's this. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Jot down this verse if you're taking notes. Romans 8:26. And this is what the verse says. Have you ever had those times you just don't know how to pray? You just sit there and you groan. Jesus, you know, the Holy Spirit takes those inarticulate groanings of our heart. These times, I can't even express what I'm feeling into words. And the Holy Spirit translates those feelings into words and to expressions and to the very heart of God. You see, we have a confident hope because you have living within you right now, the person of the Holy Spirit. God could not be any closer to you than He is right now. Notice the fifth benefit. You have the intercession, the priesthood, the advocacy, the Holy Spirit. Fifth, the preparation of the ascended Jesus brings us hope and confidence. You see, the ascended Jesus guarantees us, this is the preparation of Jesus, the ascended Jesus guarantees us a future home. John 14, verses 2 and 3. John 14, verses 2 and 3. You know, Jesus has gone into heaven to prepare a place for us. Sometimes I'll do a graveside service for a believer. And what I like to remind family and friends is this. When their loved one died, if they're a Christian, their spirit went immediately into paradise. That person is with Jesus. But also remind people standing around the grave of this. We are on resurrection ground. Because one day the ascended Jesus is going to step back through that cloud into time and space, and He's going to gather us together and personally escort us to our new permanent home. And yes, it is located in the new heavens and new earth. You see, that's why Paul says in Philippians 1:21, that for me to live is Christ and to die is advantage. Friends, in the best sense of the phrase, I'm not trying to trivialize something here, but in the very best and highest sense of the phrase, Christians are people who really are better off dead. For a believer, what is death? It's God's angel, chauffeured limousine, coming to pick us up and take us home to live forever with our bridegroom, our best friend, the only person who has ever loved us with an everlasting love. So think about that. We're infused with hope, confident expectation, optimism, because why? Jesus has gone to heaven. He's preparing a place for us, a place we won't be paying a house payment. It was already purchased with His blood. This place will fill our hearts with non-stop delight. As a matter of fact, delight so incredible that our language cannot describe what it will be like to be in our new home. So, brings us now to the last benefit. The intercession of Jesus, He prays for us. The priesthood of Jesus. The advocacy of Jesus, our defense attorney. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. The preparation of Jesus. Notice the sixth and final place. The return of the ascended Jesus fills us with hope and confidence. Look at verse 11. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven. Or as Revelation 1:7 says, He is coming with the clouds. The main actor on the stage of human history is going to pass through that curtain cloud. He's going to step back on the stage of earth. The invisible one is going to become visible again. And when He appears live and in color, please hear this. When Jesus appears, everything wrong will be made right. Wow, you don't have to look at the internet very long to see everything that's wrong, do you? Remember this. Remind yourself next time you see a horrible news story, and we've seen some bad ones lately. Tell yourself one day that is going to be made right. Jesus is going to destroy his enemies. Jesus is going to totally exterminate wickedness and sin from the world. He's going to set up a new heavens and a new earth. It is a remodeled new heavens and new earth. There's going to be nothing but purity, nothing but righteousness, nothing but indescribable beauty, nothing but peace. We've never seen this kind of world. We've had little hints, little tastes on the tip of our tongues, but we've never seen or heard or imagined anything this incredibly great. And friends, if you have trusted in this ascended Jesus as Savior and Lord, when Jesus does return to planet Earth, you will be part of Christ's everlasting kingdom. By the grace of God, because of the work of Christ for you, not because of your work, but because of the work of Christ for you, you will live happily ever after in God's forever family with hope, confidence, and eternal optimism. The late Billy Graham had a lot of great quotes. One of my favorites is this. I quote Billy Graham. "The world hopes for the best, but Jesus Christ offers the best hope." I love that. The world hopes for the best, but Jesus Christ offers the best hope. Friends, if you're in Christ this morning, why don't we commit ourselves to offering the best hope to the world? The best hope. My hope, my prayer, is that people will be around us and they will see, wow, this person is so optimistic. This person is so filled with hope. Why? Because I worship Jesus Christ. He's ascended into heaven. He gives us several solid reasons to be filled with hope and optimism and confidence. May the ascension of Jesus Christ fill you with hope, with optimism, with confidence. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, when we look at where we are these days, confidence and optimism, it's a bear market. And for some reason, we as Christians seem especially sour and dour and full of doom and gloom. Why? Lord, remind us that we worship an ascended Christ. He's not dead in the grave. He's not only resurrected, He is ascended. And this Jesus is praying for us. This Jesus is our great high priest. He's tenderhearted. He gives us real solutions for sin. Lord, we need not fear judgment day, because in our judgment day in court, we have the best defense attorney ever. Lord, we thank you that when you left us, you gave us someone to live inside of us always. Lord, we praise you for preparing a place for us. One day, we'll go to our Heavenly Father's house. We will, in the words of Psalm 24, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Lord, we look forward to that time, whenever it is, when you personally return and bring with you the very happiest of endings. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for the ascension. Lord, just ask one simple thing. That is that your ascension, the ascension of your Son, Jesus Christ, will absolutely fill us with confidence. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.